Media mogul Rupert Murdoch has closed Britain's most popular tabloid newspaper, 168-year-old News of the World. It's a bid to try and stave off the growing outrage over the phone hacking scandal that has infected the rest of his media empire. British detectives are investigating illegal phone hacking that was conducted by many members of the newspaper staff. They say the number of victims could actually exceed 4,000, and we could even see arrests of key executives from the paper sometime today. Joining us now is Paul McMullen. He served as deputy news editor for News of the World from 1994 to 2001. Paul, I understand we're catching you on the train. Thanks for joining us. Hi, good morning. And also with us, Sarah Ellison, contributing editor for Vanity Fair, author of a book on Murdoch's takeover of the Wall Street Journal. It's called The War at the Wall Street Journal, The Struggle to Control an American Business Empire. Sarah, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, let me ask you about this decision to close the News of the World so quickly, which has surprised a number of people. Why do you think that decision was made, and is it inevitably tied to the Murdoch's and News Corp's bid to get a controlling stake in the satellite company British Sky Broadcasting?
Well, it's my understanding that this decision was on the table for months, and so it's not as precipitous or as quick as people seem to be saying that it is. It's something that they were talking about, and they were thinking, well, we might have to use this, we might have to pull this trigger, so they finally did. I think it's a fairly, well, it's very symbolic, and it's interesting because Murdoch bought the News of the World when he first came to the UK, and it sort of cemented his relationship with the country and established him as this scourge of the British upper classes. It's a little bit of a rebranding exercise because, in fact, the Sun tabloid that he owns there as well is going to start printing on Sundays. And I talked to one News Corp executive who called it exactly that, a rebranding rather than a closure. So I think it's an effort to save. He's sort of giving up a newsroom full of jobs in order to try to draw a line under this crisis and save the job of one particular person, and that's Rebecca Brooks, who is the CEO of the UK newspaper group there and someone who's very, very close to Murdoch and who was, in fact, the editor of the News of the World when some of the most egregious examples of hacking took place.
Paul McMullen, who was a deputy news editor during some of that stuff at the News of the World from 1994 to 2001, let me ask you, going off what Sarah just said, do you think Rebecca Brooks' job can be saved? The Prime Minister just called for her to be to step down.
Outrageous. I mean, I was working for her. She gave me my first job when Piers Morgan was the editor back in 94. And the things that we got up to, we did for our bosses. And I thought it was outrageous that she turned round and said, oh, I didn't know it was happening. It was just our reporters. Now, five of my colleagues have been arrested. I haven't gone home for the last 3 days. My, you know, Andy Coulson, we think, I don't know, has he been arrested today already? The police have asked me to come into Scotland Yard 3 times. I'm beginning to feel a bit like a fugitive. And really, it should be the responsibility of your boss, Rebecca Brooks, who's Murdoch's, you know, right-hand woman in the UK, to stand up and say, well, you know, sometimes we have to go into those grey areas of semi-legality to, you know, legitimate investigations, not always. Clearly, hacking into Hugh Grant's phone is not a legitimate investigation, but, you know, he's got a publicist, so I'm on a train at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you can hear the sound of there, but let me actually play you an exchange that you had with Hugh Grant on the BBC World News. Take a listen.
Well, I mean, you said it was evil yesterday on Radio 5 Live. It's not really evil. It's all part of the game that helps you win publicity for your latest movie.
Do you think the families and friends of Millie Dowler and of the Soham girls think that it's a game, think it's funny?
No, because of that mistake, and that it was a mistake by someone who was not a staff member.
You're saying it was a one-off instead of a widespread practice. It was clearly a widespread practice.
No, clearly
you guys had no morals, no scruples at all.
I didn't give you much time to talk there, but let me give you the room to respond to what he's saying there. Was this a widespread practice at News of the World?
Well, I mean, it was. I mean, I got to say, I mean, you introduced me as deputy news editor, actually I was deputy features editor, which is a slightly gentler position. But nonetheless, we had our own team of private investigators who would get up to all sorts of mischief, if you like, in the pursuit of a story, as indeed we did ourselves. I mean, I had a surveillance van. I used to sit outside people's houses. In the day before it became illegal, that was 98, and then it got firmed up in 2001, you could sit outside Buckingham Palace with a scanner, tape recording Prince Charles talking to his mistress. And then you could put that tape on an 0898 payphone number, and anyone could ring in and listen. And during that period, you've got to remember that the politicians, they were falling like flies. We caught them fiddling their expenses and fiddling with their secretaries. And, you know, they passed the law to stop themselves getting caught by investigative journalists who were, you know, pulling their bank details, sometimes having a look at their medical records, if that was possible, and listening to their phone conversations. Now, I think that's all legitimate, and I think, you know, most members of the British and hopefully American public would see that as legitimate as well. I mean, you've had your great scoops, you've had Watergate, and you applaud those journalists and give them prizes. The only problem is it got completely out of hand under Rebecca Brooks' stewardship, and so instead of being, you know, worthy investigations into corruption, it came a bit too commonplace, and people, the investigators, started targeting ordinary people, the readers, and then much worse than that, to target the victims of 7/7, which was the British 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine what the American public would think of a journalist who hacked into the victims of 9/11
Paul, are imagining that very thing in the United States. Paul McMullen served as a deputy features editor for News of the World from 1994 to 2001. He's traveling on the train at this moment. Sarah Ellison, let me go back to you, contributing editor for Vanity Fair. What Paul was just talking about there, not only in terms of those who are off limits, is that what's in the end going to get the News of the World in most trouble?
Well, I think you can think about this a little bit as this is Britain's Arab Spring, and the people in Britain are finally saying we don't trust our politicians, our media, our business executives, our police. And I just think that the question is now is what they've done enough to sort of quell the outrage? And I don't think that's happened yet. I mean, I don't think that closing the News of the World actually has gotten to the heart of the matter.
Sarah Ellison, contributing editor for Vanity Fair, wrote The War at the Wall Street Journal, The Struggle to Control an American Business Empire. Thank you so much, Sarah and Paul. And now let's take a look at some other stories we're following at 15 minutes after the hour. In fact, we do have breaking news. Police say in Britain that a former aide to Prime Minister David Cameron has been arrested in the phone hacking scandal. They are saying that we can expect a couple more arrests today as well.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.